Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm your host, Meredith Dykstra, and I have Dr. Pompa here on the line, of course. And today we have a really special show for you. It's actually just going to be special Dr. Pompa and I today. Yeah, it's been quite a while, hasn't it, since it's just been you and I?
It has. Yeah, you noticed my new background, too, right?
It's a new look.
Yeah, we moved, which, oh boy, I don't even want to go there, right? That was a negative anchor, having to move. I've moved every 3 years, it seems like, Meredith. God, pray for me that I could stay here. The last place we were renting, the gentleman wanted to sell the house. So here I am in my new office for the first Cellular Healing TV show in my office.
Well, that's exciting. And it looks great. Looks like a beautiful new spot. So we're glad you guys got settled in. And we have a really exciting topic for you guys today. It's show 117. And we decided to kind of stop it. And I asked you, Dr. Pompa, do you think we need to take a little break? We've had so many incredible guests on the show recently, really this entire year, the past, you know, 4 or 5 months. And it's been such a blessing to have so much incredible information that these guests have shared, such a wealth of knowledge. But it's been a lot. And sometimes we have to stop and say, okay, this is a lot of information, but what do we do with it? I know you still take some clients on, but your passion is teaching doctors the system that you've created, and I'm kind of distilling all of this knowledge into kind of some practical steps for how to implement it into our lives, their clients' lives. So we really think it's going to be an incredible opportunity today to just stop and gather up all of this information and teach you guys some action steps on how to implement some of these strategies into your life.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Hey, you forgot to read my bio.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Don't do that. I'm just used to the show starting that way. I guess I'm a special guest today. No, this is a passion of mine, right? And you're right, Meredith, because, you know, it has, you know, we brought some amazing guests on and we've talked about some amazing subjects. You know, we've dug deeper into ketosis. You know, we've dug deeper into exercise and, you know, different supplements, you know, with Dr. Bush on. And, you know, we've had great shows on fasting. I mean, you know, Dr. Fung. I mean, you know, these shows are really great. I think, you know, our viewers have learned a lot. I think we've learned a lot, right? And we've talked about detox. I mean, but when you step back, you have to say, oh, okay, great information, but how do I use it? You know, and I feel this obligation for our viewers and listeners to make things understandable. And, you know, I want to bring on this amazing stuff, but I don't want to raise more questions, right? And I can always tell by the tone of emails when, we got to pull back and we got to bring it all together again for people. Because, you know, my goal here is to bring a message that I know that the world needs. And, you know, we've been blessed to really be able to connect with the planet here and bring a message of cellular healing and cellular detox. But where does it all fit in? You know, what I love to teach is I love to teach, you know, this thing that I call a multi-therapeutic approach. And I've made mention of it in past shows, but I think that when we start fragmenting a lot of it out and bringing in experts in different areas, you know, where does it all fit in? Because one thing, Meredith, that I always tell my doctors is it's not about specific supplements. It's not about just changing your diet. It's not about exercising. And it's not just about detox. It is putting it all together. When we put fasting, you know, with dietary change, exercise, you know, specific supplements that support detox and target specific glands, organs, or systems of the body that are broken. You know, when we put that in with ancient healing strategies like ketosis is one of them, right? Fasting and diet variation, all these things we talked about. But when we put it all together, that's what I teach as a multi-therapeutic approach. And Meredith, you've seen my talks at many different lectures, right? And I cite the studies of when they put these things together, that's the magic, right? You know, when you fragment them out, it can be great, it can be powerful. But when you put it all together, that's when we see things like neurodegenerative condition, Alzheimer's, autoimmune, these really impossible things that most people say, those don't get well, right? Or these unexplainable illnesses. When we put all of these things together, you know, that's really what we're doing, we're teaching around the world. That's what we're all doing as a unit, these doctors that, you know, that we've trained. And that's where we're seeing the miracles. I mean, that's where we're seeing these amazing cases. And people watching this, if you've seen the testimonies out there and, you know, these people that have reversed things and put things into remission, look, it is a multi-therapeutic approach. Everyone's looking for that one thing. Mm-hmm. It really is putting it all together that works. Studies prove it. I think we've proven that now with the 70-some doctors we have trained around the country. You know, we've proven that this works. Putting it all together is the key. It's where the magic is. Show could be the most important show that we've done all year because this show pulls it all together in a multi-therapeutic approach. And in Marathon, there's really five things that I teach. And I think that there is a bonus of the emotional healing where we've had some guests, you know, so I hope we have time to, you know, to even talk about that. But let's go through, you know, all five. And look at this. I even have for our viewers.
All right. The classic whiteboard.
Let me tell you something. I teach this to the doctors and I teach you all out there the same thing. When I go to the board, you know it's important, right? Because this is where people learn. So darn it, we're going to go to the board today. I don't know when, I don't know how, but darn it, we're going to get to that board.
So. Awesome. We are all going to be students today. And this topic is just so exciting for me too. I'm just so glad we're doing this show because as you said, this is truly where the magic happens. And unfortunately, there's not a magic bullet or pill out there. It is this system that you're teaching. And I'm just so excited because so many lives have changed from this system. So we're really excited to bring you guys this information. But all right, without further ado, so these are going to be the five components that Dr. Pompey uses within his multi-therapeutic approach and this system that he's teaching doctors across the country and around the world. And it's transforming lives every day. So first component we're going to talk about is diet, of course. Now, we've talked a lot about diet on Cellular Healing TV, but why don't you kind of break it down and explain the diets that you suggest or you've seen a lot of health transformations from?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think when we look at these components and when we look at studies that, you know, really are doing a lot of these things put together, the first component is everybody has to change their diet to get well today. I think everybody would agree with that, right? I mean, you know, so it really is a key component. If you don't change your diet, you're not going to get well. But I always say this. I say this to my clients. I say this to the doctors. I say this to, you know, anybody when I'm doing interviews. Look, the diet is in itself today will not get you well. Okay, now people go, what do you mean? No, the diet in itself will not get you well. However, you will not get well without changing your diet. Mm. Say that again. The diet itself will not get you well today because getting well is a very complicated thing. So a lot of people change their diet today and say, why am I not losing weight? Why is this not good? You know, this improved, but I'm still sick. Yep. The diet will absolutely have to be changed to get well, but in and itself, it won't get you well. So therefore, again, it's part of a multi-therapeutic approach. So let's look at diet in general, right? Because you know my belief, Meredith, I don't believe there's one diet for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that this is the diet. I know I have my cellular healing diet, right? I always say that my cellular healing diet isn't something that maybe someone should, this is the one diet. I believe it's the diet. It's a starting point for most. I believe it's the diet that down-regulates inflammation the best. Cellular inflammation, that is. I believe it's a diet that most people need to start to get their life back, right? And then, you know, we'll talk a little bit, remind our viewers what a cellular healing diet is. And there's different diets. We move people into ketosis at times. That's a diet that's different. I have clients that oftentimes we're actually going in a little higher carbohydrate range. But when I say carbohydrate now, I'm talking about vegetable, high fiber carbohydrates, you know, and sometimes much lower protein or higher fat. Genetically, some people do better with higher fat diets. Some people do better with much lower carbohydrates. Some people do better with more moderate. Even when the cell is broken and the mitochondria can't use certain things and fats, there's a diet that could be a little more specific.
Mm-hmm. And it does take the experimentation for sure. But before we go any further, let's break it down. So what is the cellular healing diet? What are you removing? What are you bringing in?
Yeah, I think the cellular healing diet is really basic. I think it's like this. Look, you know, remove all grains and all sugar from the diet. I think it's pretty easy, right? I mean, meaning that, you know, if we just took it at face value like that, and that's typically what I want people to do in the beginning. When someone comes from the standard American diet, it's overwhelming. There's all these diets. Okay, don't complicate it. Take away all grains and all sugar. Why those two things? Because those things are the most inflammatory things to the cell. Raising glucose and insulin, you know, the number one and the number two things. Toxins are the number one inflammatory cause. Perhaps glucose and insulin is number one, too. They're both right there. So, but the toxins we typically can't control. That's down the road of doing cellular detox. So it's not like we can get rid of all your toxins overnight, but we can control your glucose and insulin almost overnight. All right. So by removing all grains and all sugar, that's the fastest way to start the process of downregulating cellular inflammation, again, which is the cause of why people don't feel well. It's the cause of why disease happens, why the cell gets more toxic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So getting rid of grains and sugar, very basic, but it's very powerful. Now, in that, we could say increase your healthy fats. And we always talk about what are really healthy fats. You know, we can start to complicate it. And what about this food? What about that food? We have a book, The Cellular Healing Diet. Get the book. But that's typical.
New and revised edition is about to be out as well with new recipes and some new information. So that is very soon on the horizon.
Yeah. And when we look at that too, I mean, we could talk about what, you know, meats do we eat, because conventional meat causes disease, right? Move to grass-fed, you know, meats, 100% grass-fed meats, you know, meaning from, you know, beginning to end. So they call it grass-finished is probably a better way to put it. That's huge. I mean, that's part of the cellular healing diet, no doubt about it. You know, getting more healthy fats, eating grass-fed
meat. Toxic ones. That's a huge component.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, by going to grass-fed meat, now you're getting healthy fats, right? Because those saturated fats that we love and adore and the cholesterols, they're healthy now because they're grass-fed. And I'm always asked this question, grass-fed, is it organic? If it's pure grass-fed, trust me, it's organic. So they may not have gotten the certification, but no one's spraying the grass because the weeds are very, very good for the cow. So, that answers that question. And then the dairy, you know, we love the grass-fed dairy as well. And by the way, that's one of the things that differentiates the cellular healing diet from paleo, is we believe in good, healthy dairy. I believe every culture that's been healthy on the planet eats dairy, but it's not the dairy, commercial dairy, that is inflammatory, mucus-driving, allergy-driving. Commercial dairy, probably one of the most toxic things humans can eat. The irony is this. I believe pure God dairy from grass-fed cows, not given the hormones, not pasteurized, not homogenized, I believe is one of the healthiest foods humans can eat. So I think there's a complete dichotomy there. So
totally different animals, literally. And so the cellular healing diet, no grains, no sugar, you're removing the toxic fats, eating the grass-fed quality meats. All right, so that's cellular healing diet. If you want more information on that, we've done a lot of past shows and you can get the diet book as well. But you mentioned another diet, the ketogenic diet. So break that down. We've talked about it a lot, but perhaps someone's listening for the first time. So give a little overview.
In this one, we get to ancient healing strategies. Ketosis is in that category. You know, why? Because, again, we call it that. People call these types of diets sometimes paleo diets, right? Meaning ancient diets. It is an ancient healing strategy. The way people ate in the ancient times was meat and vegetables. Now, I differ from paleo in another aspect, not just the dairy. I differ there in the sense of I'm not a believer in high protein. Right. Even for people genetically, some people do better with more protein. I would give you that. However, most people, when we interviewed Dr. Mercola, he's very against protein. Right. And I agree. I think that most people today on these paleo diets and low carb diets, they gravitate to protein, which number one can turn to sugar. And number two is just damaging at the mitochondria. And there's a lot of issues with protein that's not talked about today. So Mercola, I think, made a good point. But I think ketosis really is more about higher fat diet, which our ancient people really gravitated to. They loved the fat because it was a nutrient that lasted long, gave them lasting energy. In ketosis, you can tell them the episodes to go watch. It's getting your carbs low enough. I would call the cellular healing diet moderate protein, moderate carbohydrates, and moderate to higher fat. Mm-hmm. Ketosis is high fat, moderate protein, and low carb. Okay, so again, there's the differentiation. Cellular healing diet, more moderate, 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 if you will, to lower carb side. Okay, especially what people in America call low carb. Cellular healing is still low carb. But this one is low carb, under 50 grams of carbs a day on average for the average person, will put you in a state of ketosis, which simply means your cells can use two things for energy, sugar or fat. We're forcing the cell, we're bringing your carbohydrates down so low that we're forcing your cell to only use fat. And now you start to make something called ketones, which is the byproduct of fat metabolism. Your brain needs glucose, can't use fat. So it makes it, we're taking the glucose away. So we're getting we're using the ketones in the brain, which is very healing for the brain. It's a strategy that we use. It's a diet that we use. And typically I move people in and out of ketotic states, which is also an ancient healing strategy called diet variation. We'll get there. I don't want to spill the beans, but tell them a little bit more where they can gather more. Because maybe this is someone's first show and they have no idea what ketosis is and I just opened a can of worms.
Yeah, well, we've done a lot of shows on ketosis. Check out the show with Dr. Dominic D'Agostino, where Dr. Pomper interviewed him. He's an expert on the ketogenic diet, and we delved very deeply into the ketogenic diet and the use of exogenous ketones as well, which would be ketone supplements to help you shift into ketosis. We also did a show with Dr. Jeff Volek as well on the ketogenic diet, and he dispelled a lot of myths on using the ketogenic diet for those who have heart disease and diabetes therapeutically. Those were really great shows. And it's talked about in a lot of different episodes as well, but those two are really great resources. Also one with Ben Greenfield recently as well on the ketogenic diet for athletes. So those are really
good. You notice the difference. You know, Ben ate slightly higher carbohydrates, right? Because he's an athlete. He can get away with higher carbohydrates. But he ate higher carbohydrates in the form of what, Meredith?
Was it just, not like starchy vegetables?
Yeah, well, and just vegetables, period.
Well, he ate a ton. He eats tons of vegetables. So I think he said recently he eats like 100 grams of fiber a day. Tons and tons of vegetables, a lot of them blended. So, yes, not really going so much for the grains, although maybe from time to time because he is such an extreme athlete, so he can afford that. But more so, yeah, the starchy vegetables.
I have, I just had a client recently this week, and she goes into ketosis better with more vegetables, like really, fibrous vegetables. When she raises her fat intake too much, she doesn't break it down well, and it actually, her ketones actually come down more.
Mm.
She does better with higher vegetables, moderate fat, and low carbohydrates. But at the end of the day, she probably ends up with a little more than 50 grams because she's eating so many vegetables, but it serves her better, I think, because the fiber helps her lower a case in point of she went into ketosis with a little higher carbohydrates, but carbohydrates from vegetables, similar to Ben Greenfield. But so the point is, it's a little bit different for everybody. And that's one of the things that I'm always, telling my doctors is you have to tailor make some of these, diets, even ketosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I love that you said that. Yeah, that it's there's not one diet for everyone. And with all of this, this is a starting off point, but you have to experiment what works for you. And I did have a question too about protein intake, though. You were mentioning that with the ketogenic diet. What do you typically suggest if someone's wondering, wants to experiment with either the cellular healing diet or the ketogenic diet is a good kind of protein range?
Yeah, I mean, I think on the interview with McClough, we both agreed that it's about half of your body weight, lean body weight. So in other words, if you're overweight, you have to subtract for that and find out where your lean muscular body weight would be, right? So if you're 100,
find that out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a formula if you Google, how to find out lean body
weight. There's calculators online.
Yeah, exactly. But I think you can just guess, right? It's like, what is your perfect weight, right? Where you're carrying a very lean body fat. So, 150-pound person, anywhere between 50 to 75 grams of protein. And, go on the lower side typically even, and you'll probably hit it right. A day, that's a day. You know, so your lean body. So if you're 30 pounds overweight, deduct 30 and go on the lower side of half. You know, so let's say I'm 180, but I know I'm 30 pounds overweight. Okay, that brings you to 150. Okay, that's 75 grams of protein a day, but let me go a little less. So maybe 50 to 70 in there is a good estimation of where to start. So I think that's good. Now, listen, I think that if you're an athlete, you can do more. You're breaking protein down. I think you can do more. And I think when you're intermittent fasting, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit, I think that you can even ingest more protein even at one time and get away with it because your growth hormone rises up. Your body has different needs. But so anyways, that's a
typical. If you're pregnant, you would want to have more protein and more fat.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's different, you know, times for more protein and less protein. Genetically, some people will do better with more. We talked about that. But on average, Americans eat too many carbohydrates and too many protein and not enough quality fats. Again, probably a good place to leave diet is a general standpoint. America, we eat too many carbohydrates, empty carbohydrates, even whole grains, even whole, I mean, carbohydrates we consider necessarily good, we eat too many. I go to these health conferences where we have all the health gurus and I watch and I say, my gosh, they're still spiking their insulin and glucose. And to leave on this note on diet, if you want to age faster than anybody, spike your insulin and glucose, you know, and we'll talk more about that when we get to intermittent fasting because people do that far too many times in a day and that's how you age too fast. So, diet, ketosis.
Not a reason other than vanity.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, you have to change your diet to get well, but changing your diet alone will not get you well today. So let's talk about exercise. That's number two.
Awesome. Number two, exercise. Well, we've talked a lot about exercise on different shows too. So, and there are kind of two forms you've zeroed in on, but there's one form of exercise that you love, I know, for anti-aging, like you just said, but also for hormone optimization and rapid fat loss. And that type of exercise is burst training or high interval intensity training. So talk a little bit about that and why it has so many awesome benefits.
Yeah, look, I mean, first of all, America, we just need to move, right? I mean, oftentimes, you know, that's the first thing we get people to do is something very...
It's the new smoking, right, as they say?
Absolutely. You know, but I think when we say, people always ask the question, you know, what do I do? What form of exercise? And I say for weight loss and hormone optimization, the best one is the high intensity. And on past shows, we say, look, it's very easy. You know, don't overcomplicate it, especially for people who are just trying to be generally healthy. You know, if you just did, you know, 3 to 4 intervals 3 times a week of high intensity. And we always give the example of just dumbbells doing in a squatted, you know, like this, we do a squat thrust where we go up and down like this with dumbbells, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if we did that for 1 minute to exhaustion, right? As fast as we can for 30 seconds to a minute, there's one set, take a couple minutes rest. Do another set, take a couple minutes. That basic 3 times a week, that works, right? Athletes need more. They can handle more. The average person can't. You know, so, I mean, just any type of high-intensity workout. I have a video out there of me skinning up the mountain, right? It's very high intensity, but it's a longer interval. I think we can, you know, as we get in better shape, we can do longer intervals. But high intensity in multiple different ways is the best form for hormone optimization and weight loss resistance. I think exercise variation is very important too, Meredith. I think that, you know, if you do high intensity the next day, you could do some just basic walking and movement. And, you know, that's a variation. There's different benefits to that. I do high intensity, but I also do some endurance too. I mean, I mix it up. I do. I think there's benefits all around to our health to doing both. But for if you just have to do one, you know, stick to the high intensity for most people. I think that's the glaring message there.
Mm-hmm. And when is a good time to exercise? I know that has been a question as well. When should we exercise? Should we do it on a fasted stomach? Is it okay later in the evening? Should we, you know, eat before and after exercise? I know maybe that's a lot too, but if you want to kind of at least touch on that, that'd be great.
Yeah. You know, and again, you know, there's some answers there. I don't have the questions there. I don't have the answers to, but we know this. The best time to exercise is in a fasting state, on an empty stomach. Now, when to eat is not necessarily, you know, we don't understand that. I know
in our meeting,
you said, you know, if I eat right in the middle of the exercise, that seems to help him. And, you know, it's like, so yeah, maybe there's an argument for that. Right after, 2 hours after, I'm still researching that. But what we know is, you know, exercising in a fasting state raises growth hormone, makes us more hormone sensitive, and we get the best results. So for most people, that would be in the morning. You know, but again, I intermittent fast, so I have a larger gap to exercise. But exercising, you know, on that fasting state is the best thing. When to eat after, how long after, stay tuned. We'll see. We're going to get more information on that, because there is a mix of ideas there.
I know you said too, when you exercise on a fasted stomach, you get the most increase in human growth hormone, which is also anti-aging, which I know a lot of people get really excited about that idea as well.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at what happens during exercise, you know, especially, you know, when you do this high intensity exercise, you know, that alone forces up the growth hormone. Your body burns up the stored sugar, the glycogen in the liver and the muscles. And then what happens is the growth hormone rises to basically allow your body to not burn muscle, but to burn fat. And when you don't give the body all that glucose during the exercise or right before, then what happens is it raises that growth hormone higher, because it knows it has to break down the fat. It wants to preserve its muscle. Everything the body does, it's based on survival and adaptation. So it's an adaptation mechanism. When we get to ancient healing, we'll talk a little bit more about that, because the body just wants to survive. So it does all these little hormonal shifts that we can take advantage of. I like to call it hormone manipulation. In exercising on an empty stomach, you know, or in a fasting state, is hormone manipulation. It really is. And intermittent fasting is hormone manipulation. But and it's really just forcing the body to do what it does best, survive and adapt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a message that you'll kind of hear through this whole thing. So I'll say the same thing about exercise as I said about diet. Exercise, it's not going to get you well. But again, if you're not doing anything and moving, you won't get well without it, right? We got to move. We have to move as humans. And that doesn't mean some of our clients are so sick, they can't exercise. I couldn't exercise. I was so sick for some years. Every time I would do anything, I just left exhausted. Hmm. You know, but my body still had to move. I still had to get up off the couch. I still had to get out of bed. You know, and move our lymphatics and move our circulation. So for some people, it could be a very slow walk down the road just slightly, you know. So I get it if you're one of those who just can't exercise. We take our patients in, you know, in incremental steps, you know, from being very sick and conserving energy all the way up to where they're able to do different types of exercise. So I'm not saying that everybody out there has to do high intensity exercise, because I really believe that some people absolutely can't. And it will actually work against you. So many of my own clients, I say, do not exercise right now. And many of my clients who are exercising, I back them off, because I can tell that it's actually taking their cellular energy that they need for healing. So, but any movement sometimes is valuable. But some people, trust me, if you feel more tired the next day or even later that day, then exercise is not serving you well in this case. So there you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to a story that you had told, which I hadn't thought about, intermittent fasting and exercise, doing exercise on a fasted stomach to be an ancient healing strategy. But when you mentioned you had gone to Africa, and when you were there visiting the tribe, you had seen the men from the tribe go out and hunt all day on a fasted stomach, basically, you know, burst training, exercising all day on a fasted stomach. And hadn't thought about that as being an ancient healing strategy, but in that case, it would be. So it's neat how the theme ties in there as well.
Absolutely. Just like I said, ketosis is under diet, but it's also under ancient healing strategy. My gosh, Meredith, you're right. I mean,
it all supports.
Exercising on an empty stomach.
The other.
Mm-hmm. That exercising on an empty stomach, Meredith said it first, I didn't, is technically an ancient healing strategy. You're right. When I went to Africa, I was stunned, right? Well, when I went to this village, I think we were the first, you know, Americans there for sure. And they had just recently come out of the bush. And first thing I said is, where's all the men? It was all women and children. You know, I was like, did they die? What happened? They're like, oh, no, they're out hunting. And so they leave extremely early in the morning. They don't eat. They go all day on the hunt. They don't eat. So they're exercising, Meredith, to your point, on an empty stomach. They come home and they, you know, the men were to, you know, eating one meal a day. The women are, you know, doing their thing all day. They're not eating until later in the day as well. So that was the first time I was stunned, because at that time I still believed that three meals a day was the way to go, right? And I'm like,
more exercise, maybe afterwards as well.
I was stunned. I'm like, well, they don't eat before they go. Are they eating on the way? No. So I was shocked, and that didn't process normal in my brain at that time. And nor did the fact that these people didn't eat all day. How are they so healthy? Because they had no disease. And that's one of the things that was told to me, is these people, they barely eat, Dr. Pompa. We don't understand why they don't have disease. That was the question that was really brought to me by one of the pastors, you know, and doctors that was there, that these people do not have disease, but they barely eat. They eat, they just don't eat all of the meals, and they're eating what they hunt and gather. You know, so it was really neat to see that, you know, really live. And that's been my fascination, you know, with ancient healing strategies. You know, I started right there probably. So
yeah. And what a great question maybe to ask ourselves in terms of health and wellness. Like, would my ancestors have done this? Would my ancestors have eaten this? How would they have moved throughout the day? So always kind of keeping that mindset when we have this approach to our modern health and wellness strategies, to ask ourselves those questions to kind of help to inform our decisions a little bit better on, you know, how we genetically might be able to get the best results.
Yep, absolutely. So, well, number three, right?
Number three. All right.
We have a lot of people who come here for supplement information.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people want that. They want the pill, and not only maybe the medication on that side of the industry, but in the health and wellness industry, they want the supplement to make things better. But it's not that simple. And why don't you break it down for us a little bit there? How do you approach supplementation? And within that, how do you target specific things as well?
Yeah, you said it right there. You know, number one, let's make the same statement about supplements as we did diet and exercise. And it really leads into our argument that it's a multi-therapeutic approach, right? That we teach our clients and teach the doctors, right? You know, supplements alone will never get you well. You have to change your diet. You have to move. And we're getting to the other ones, you know, and I believe you have to do these ancient healing strategies. And I know you have to do true cellular detox and healing. So
The
supplements is part of detox. The supplements is part of cellular healing, right? And, but the supplements in and of itself won't get you well. You know, but I really do break the supplements down into two categories, right? You've heard me teach this. Number one, there's supportive daily supplements. Supportive supplements are those that support cellular function, that are a lot based on healing the cell, you know, based on these, my five R's of what we need to do to fix a cell. You know, those are absolutely supportive to the cell. And then they're supporting the downstream detox pathways, whether it's the gut supplements, liver, kidneys, lymphatics. I mean, whatever it is, you know, those are also supportive. You know, but they're supportive downstream. And then, so I said two, I guess there's really three. Well, those two are supportive in those two things. You know, we have supportive cellular and supportive downstream. And then the other category is the target supplements. The target supplements is, let me give you an example. Let's say you have someone with a thyroid condition. The target supplements are, what are we giving them specifically that we know that we need to help support the thyroid, like iodine, products like GF, the adrenals, the pituitary, these endocrine supporting things, you know, ones that support the receptors to the hormones like the thyroid hormone. So, you know, those are what I call target supplements. Diabetes, what are those? Ones that support the receptors for insulin would be one, right? Ones that help stabilize glucose, different herbs, herbs that support the pancreas, the liver. We always say that we like to support the liver for diabetics. So, you know, that's really what I call the target supplements. Alzheimer's, what are the supplements that target the brain, like Neurosyn, you know, ASEA? We can keep going down the list. So we have our clients on specific cellulars, specific detox support, and then specific target supplements. And that's the way I teach it, is my doctors as well. So it's very different for everybody. And the other thing that I teach is how to rotate these things, right? You never want to be on something too long. And people are on the same probiotic, for a year. Oh my gosh, you know, that's creating major problems. You know, they're on the same darn things. We have to rotate, we have to fill the body, and that's a concept of rotation that I teach as well within supplements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, rotating the probiotics and all, you know, supplements in general was something that you taught me, but that made so much sense too when you said you need to rotate the bacteria, because as you know, if you guys want to reference the show we did with Dr. Zach Bush on Restore, that was episode 110. We talk a lot about healing the gut, leaky gut, and kind of diversifying your gut bacteria. And that just made so much sense, because when we're taking the same probiotic, it's creating a monoculture in our gut, and which does not, you know, support diversity, which is really important to have a healthy digestive system. Yeah. So I think that's just such an important point that a lot of people just still don't get. They just pick up a probiotic mindlessly and take the same strains of bacteria for months, years, and are really doing more harm than good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the rotation's the key. I mean, I think giving people enough numbers to multiply is important, right? But you know, we know that rotation is the key. We know even fermented foods, another ancient healing strategy perhaps, but you know, bringing in ferments is bringing in cultures of different types of bacteria that aren't typically in the seven that are in most probiotics bought in the store. We like a lot of these soil organism products that are different, that bring in all types of different cultures. The Restore has no bacteria at all. Right? It's just redox molecules that help the good bacteria communicate with our cells and each other. And, you know, how we rotate that in with the other bacteria is, you know, something that we teach. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, really the gut is just one part of how we supplement and, you know, one part of this strategy. You know, people always think, if I could just fix the gut, I get well. You know, well, look, you know, it's still within this multi-therapeutic approach, right? There's certain supplements, but you'll never fix the gut without ancient healing, you know, which is the next topic. You know, you'll never fix the gut, I believe, today without these ancient healing strategies. Supplements are important, the right ones, rotation, bacteria, supplements that shut down the tight junction, redox molecules with a SEA was a product that we love, restores a product. I mean, all these things are great. You know, targeting the cell, targeting specific glands, rotate. I mean, all that stuff's great. We teach it. Our doctors that are, you know, part of our group understand how to do this. But the key is doing it with these other strategies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you're interested in any of the products that you're talking about, Dr. Pompa, would you suggest someone perhaps start on some of the core cellular, your products to kind of start, and then they could move into to targeted support after that?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that the core, these cellular products, you know, that fit within the five R's of cellular healing, and we have plenty of articles and videos about that. That's a really great place to start to support the cell. You know, but again, I think then we have to look and we have to support some of these detox pathways, you know, that are very challenged today with the amount of toxins and stress that we're under. You know, I mean, look, everybody needs a coach. You know, I mean, I'm talking about things here, and I'm probably, people are going, taking notes, pulling their hair out. Okay, I get it. One is the diet. Two is exercise. Three is supplements. But how do I put all this together? You know, it is different for everybody. You know, people hire coaches to, you know, to become better at golf or tennis or, you know, whatever it is. My gosh. I mean, you know, how we train doctors for years, Meredith, on how to put this multi-therapeutic approach together, all the little nuances, because it is different for everyone. Dosing this, the rotation, you know, putting it together, you know, is an art. And our goal is to teach our clients this, right? Our goal is unique. It's not to get somebody well in 3 months. That's impossible. 6 months. They got sick in 30 years, right? It's like our goal is to teach them this multi-therapeutic approach, how to fix a cell, how to detox a cell, three phases, you know, which we're going to get to, prep phase, body phase, brain phase. And once we empower them, you know, now they go, oh, I get it, you know, and it's a little different for everybody. I think that's what complicates it. But anyways, to ancient healing, which is number four, right?
Yes, it is. Ancient healing is number four. And I love what you said. It's so empowering, this information. So if you're watching, you know, get excited about all of these different tools that you and your practitioner can have in your toolbox to get well again, because it is possible, but it's never one thing. So moving on, we've talked a lot about ancient healing so far, but this is number four, ancient healing. And within it, there are multiple components, because there is not just one ancient strategy that we want to employ. So in it, of course, there is the ketogenic diet, which we've mentioned, which is more of an ancient diet. Yep. And then we also talk about diet variation, which is shifting from higher carbohydrate to lower carbohydrate and just kind of varying your diet, so to kind of take advantage of your body's adaptation mechanisms. And then the last one is going to be fasting, which we've mentioned, of course, as well, and then the different forms of fasting that we talk about too. So there's three components within the ancient healing strategy component. So break those down for us, Dr. Pompa, and how we can start to implement those tools.
And Meredith added a fourth, which is exercising while fasting. And I love that. I'm always, I like to add things, you know, that we go, yeah, that is exactly right. That is an ancient healing strategy. But yeah, okay, so ketosis, we don't have to spend a lot of time here because we kind of covered it. But what I'll answer this question. Why is it an ancient healing strategy, right? Because, you know, our ancestors were really forced into having to eat higher fat diets because it wasn't a lasting energy. When they would go without eating, when you're in a ketotic state, your body gets very efficient at using fat for energy. And when you're not eating, your body will give you a craving if it can only use glucose for energy, right? It'll just give you a craving, or it will start breaking your muscle down into sugar called gluconeogenesis. So, you know, and this is, I believe, a major problem today is genetically, epigenetically, where a gene gets turned on that most Americans are locked in is sugar is their major cellular source of energy. So they get, what happens is the body will give them cravings, so they fail on every diet, right? It's like, there's the bread, there's this, there's that. So eventually they give in and break diets. So it's not your fault. This is a problem with your genes being turned on. Or a gene can get turned on where the body becomes very efficient at breaking your muscle down into sugar. It's called gluconeogenesis. And I believe that's an epigenetic adaptation that's occurred in many people today. So therefore, weight loss becomes impossible because they either break their muscle down, which lowers their metabolism, they break that down into sugar, or they get cravings for sugar. So the people that go, well, I don't eat sugar, I don't eat junk, they've mastered the fact that, you know, great, I don't give in to this, but their body, unfortunately, has become very efficient at breaking muscle down, or they get addicted to protein. They're eating, you know, 200 grams of protein a day to get their sugar addiction.
Or eating sugar and not even realizing it, eating tons of oatmeal and whole grain bread and things that are, you know, supposedly healthy, but still spiking their blood sugar all day.
So this is a problem for most Americans. They're stuck as sugar burners or muscle burners into sugar, right? So it's a gene that needs to be turned off. These ancient healing strategies help turn that off. Ketosis is one of them. So we'll refer to all of them because all of them help turn that sugar burner gene off. And the ketones, our ancestors were forced into these ketotic states because they didn't have food. When you're not eating.
They didn't have a choice, yeah, unlike we do today. Yeah. Way too many choices, too much food all around, all the time.
Yep. So when they're not eating, which they wanted to conserve their sources of food in the winter, guess what? They're burning the fat here, their visceral fat, internal fat, and they make ketones. So they're in ketosis. What's that? They didn't know.
Whereas today we're testing our blood to make sure we're in ketosis.
But we're not forced to. They were, right? In every society, they were forced into ketotic states, different times. And that's, we'll talk about diet variation because it didn't happen always, but different times. So, and then what happens is when they did come to these times, they would store up the animals, especially the fat. That was the most valued, right? Because why the fat? Because it was lasting energy. It was quality, solid nutrition. So they would get the fat, and the fat could be stored in very easily in the forms of cheese, in the forms of just, you know, the good old fatty meats. So that became the value, is the fat. So they were forced into this high-fat ketosis state at many different times during the year. So it's an ancient healing strategy. Now, I didn't say this in the first part. Why is ketosis so healing? Let's just rattle them off. And I think Dr. D'Agostino, amazing scientists working with the special ops groups, the Navy SEALs, the Rangers, the Army Ranger, you know, is utilizing a lot of ketosis and ketones to allow them to perform at a higher level, right? So why is that? Well, first of all, when you're in ketosis and you're burning fat, your glucose and insulin are very stable. You know, perfect glucose. Remember I said if you don't spike your insulin and glucose, you live longer, healthier, less inflammation. Fat burns cleaner than glucose. A healthy person can burn glucose, and they have the cellular capability to downregulate the waste when you burn glucose. The analogy I give is it's like a log in your fireplace. If you don't have that damper open, that smoke comes in the house, that cell becomes very toxic. Your house becomes toxic, you die. That's what's happening to people's cells. So what we know is if we can get the cell, there's an odd noise in my house. I don't know what that is. If you hear, sounds like an animal dying, it's not. It must be a pipe. I don't know if they're doing it.
Oh, hope not.
Well, sorry about that. But anyways, if we can get the cell burning glucose, it burns cleaner. So therefore, a challenged cell with a lot of the pathways to downregulate that smoke from the glucose. Again, a healthy person has their damper open, no problem at all. Gets rid of the smoke. But unhealthy people, their dampers close. So if we burn glucose, which is like natural gas on your stove, or natural gas in your fireplace, you don't need a damper. There's so little waste. So it burns cleaner. Secondly, ketones turn off bad genes. We know that ketones, when raised up in a ketotic state, turn off bad genes. And Dominic D'Agostino, a lot of his studies are showing that. So another benefit, we can turn off bad genes.
Oh, cool.
Burns cleaner, downregulates inflammation, turns off bad genes. Oh, and also, we know that it heals the brain. Since the early 1900s, we've used ketotic states, ketones, to help heal the brain.
Well, that's so where it started, right? That was the history of the ketogenic diet from the 20s. They used it in children who had epilepsy, right?
Absolutely. So a lot of reasons, and there's others as well, you know, but there's just a few reasons. So anyways, there's ketosis. The second one you mentioned was fasting. We have two types. Block fasting, where we can do someone 4 days at least on a fast, or maybe more, 7, 10, whatever, you know, but these longer fasts our ancestors were forced into. You know, there was something that we mentioned on a past show called Starvation Spring that the Hunza people, they nicknamed it that, they still practice it today, where they didn't have food in the spring. They exhausted their stores through the harsh winter. The Indians did a very similar thing. And then while they were, you know, it was tougher to get animals in the spring at certain times. They didn't have the food access still. So there was a month or so where they just fasted. And it became known as fasting spring. But I think even periodically, all cultures would fast. Biblically, every culture, every religion talks about fasting, the importance of healing emotionally, spiritually, and physically doing fasting. I think
the Bible, it says it's not if you fast, but when you fast was one of the scriptures. So I thought that was interesting. It wasn't a question.
Yeah. So I think these longer, what I like to call block fasts, is something our ancestors did, forced to do sometimes, and chose to do oftentimes. And it really was a form of healing. We know that the body uses its innate, inborn intelligence during times of fasting. And it goes through amazing healing. And again, Meredith, we interviewed a couple doctors who had fasted for many days, 22 days, 30 days. And we've done different shows on fasting with Dr. Fung. It's How to Intermittent Fast, I think was the title of that one, which was not that long ago. And these other different block fasts we've done some shows on. But, you know, the message was these guys fasted and they had these, you know, the one doctor had this, you know, cancerous cysts fall off his body, you know, and all the skin tags would, you know, fall off their bodies. I mean, amazing healing occurs in fasting. So that's block fasting. And then intermittent fasting, just as a quick review, that's what we do daily. That's what I do daily, right? And this practice I set is, since I've gotten my life back with cellular detox, right? I said is the most powerful really alternative thing I've ever done in healing, in its intermittent fasting, that I saw the greatest benefit to my health, I would say. And intermittent fasting is it. And some years ago, I started doing it, and my health just went through the roof. I mean, I can't even describe it. I could do just a whole show on that alone. But intermittent fasting, what we're talking about is not eating from dinner the night before for 14 to 20 hours, well, 14 really to 24 hours sometimes, right, before that next meal. So in other words, if I ate at 7 o'clock, I would go 7 o'clock the next day, there's 12, add four more on to make 16. So that would be 7 o'clock in the morning, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You could eat at 11 or noon. There's an intermittent fast. So your first meal wouldn't be until 11 or noon. You know, my first meal of the day is typically around 3 or 4. I eat around 7 or 8 at night because I don't go to bed typically till 11. But and then I don't eat until, my intermittent fast seems to do the best between 18 and 20 hours. So, and I know you probably have some questions here, but the point is this, is that that fasting state daily is something that our ancestors did. You brought up the African tribe is where the first time I saw that. But again, I know that we've been taught that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. That's an American thing. That's not what the rest of the world does. It's not, I believe this fasting state is key. We know that testosterone and growth hormone are highest in the morning. In the moment you eat, it drops. And we lose that hormonal high that can be carried on. So,
what if some people were wanting to experiment with intermittent fasting, but what if they wanted to try eating breakfast and lunch and skipping dinner? Would that affect hormones negatively? Would they not get as good of a result?
No, I mean, I think there's an argument and a try for some people going, okay, let me eat breakfast and lunch and skip dinner. I think you'll get the same result. Really? I feel it's more hard to not eat at the end of the day. Here's why. When you don't eat in the morning, you're taking advantage of not eating all night. So if you sleep, 8 hours, there's 8 hours that you didn't have to worry about eating food. Now, look, I'm going to make an important point. Intermittent fasting, when to eat is a topic that's different for everybody. In our doctor's training, we teach our clients to measure glucose and ketones. Because if we see glucose starting to rise up, then that's a real good chance your body's tapping into its muscle. Because your cells, just have adapted to that time, they're broken, who knows, whatever the reason. That again, this is why you should work with a coach. Because you can't just say, okay, I'm gonna do what Pompa does and fast 18, 20 hours. It may not be, 14 may be better for you. Remember, Dr. McCullough found that 15 hours seems to be his little window. Mm-hmm. And I made the point, I said, yeah, hey, doc, but that's you, right? I find people do better longer. Some people do better shorter. In looking at glucose and ketones is a really tricky way to figure out what's good for you at that time. But the problem is it changes. People become genetically more and more efficient at burning fat. Then their body starts to do better with longer fasts. Well, that's a whole nother neat topic. And I think we need to do a show and expand on some of those little tricks, right? Mm-hmm. But again, this is why people need coaches, because it's not the same formula for everybody. Your coach will help you determine, what's good for you at the moment and how to do these fasts. But listen, when you take intermittent fasting in light of the diet, the exercise, the supplements, and what we're going to talk about next, True Cellular Detox, I'm telling you, magic happens. It is hormone manipulation. Humans were meant to fast. And I believe daily is the most magic. You saw the studies that I showed at my last talk or my last seminar where I had the doctors. How many studies did I go through of just fasting 24 hours, right? It's like these short fasts and what it does to growth hormone, what it does to hormone sensitivity, and what it does for the cell and downregulating inflammation. I mean, I went through one study after another study after another study to know that humans are meant to fast short periods of time every day. I mean, the studies are replete. So longer fasts periodically, but I'm telling you, these short little fasts, the studies are showing more and more that it's magic to fix the cell. And you won't get well unless you fix the cell. And fasting is an exercise that I teach every one of my clients.
Yeah, and so counter to the current mainstream belief that you know, we need to eat many meals a day. And we've addressed this a lot on the show, but it's a good point to hammer home as well, that even eating 5 to 6 meals a day when you're spiking your blood sugar all day long is not a benefit. You may get some short-term weight loss, which I know is typically the goal, to, you know, quote, you know, rev up your metabolism, but long-term, you're not going to get the results or the hormone benefits that you would if you trained your cells to rely on your own fat for energy and going longer periods of time without food.
You know what? You said it. You know, I am not. When you look at the studies on living longer, everything pales in comparison. Everything. I mean, this supplement, that supplement, nothing holds up except one thing. Eat less. Well, wait a minute. Dr. Pompey, you don't believe in caloric restriction, but all these studies show, animal studies, human studies, eating less is magic to living longer. Well, here's the catch. When we look at these cultures that live very long and healthy, we know that they, at the end of the day, they do eat less, but here's the key. You know, if you just restrict your calories, we know that your metabolism gets lower and lower and lower. And then you need less and less and less and less and less calories. And it's this never winning thing. And, you know, all of a sudden you become skinny fat and you can't even burn fat no matter how low your calories get. It doesn't work. However, how are these people doing? Whether it's the Okinawans, the Tibetans, the, you know, the Hunza people. I mean, what are they doing? Here's the key. Write it down at home. Don't eat less. Eat less often. That's intermittent fasting. It's an ancient healing strategy. Eat less often. How, you know, how that works for you is individual. That's why you need a coach, because when your mitochondria are not working, you're going to have to figure out these magic time windows. You know, your coach can help you with that. But eat less often. That's what everybody does. Now, at the end of the day, do I take in, you know, less? Yes, I do. You know, but I eat less often. So I know that when Mercola's video, you know, he said, you know, well, I eat 5-6 times a day. And people are like, what? You eat 5-6? No, no, no. He eats 5-6 times a day. He eats all day in that window when he eats. So he doesn't eat. He fasts for 15-16 hours, and then he starts eating. Now, me, I eat twice within my eating window. So I may fast 18 or 20 hours, and then I eat, and then I eat again at dinner. But I'm okay if I eat in between there, because I'm only eating in this window. You know, and I always say, here's the key. If you try eating less during the eating window or at dinner, you're going to not get the result, because your body will think it's starving. The magic with intermittent fasting is, unlike caloric restriction, your body thinks it's starving and it starts to, you know, do these bizarre hormonal things to save itself. Intermittent fasting, it knows it's not starving. So therefore, it will continue to burn fat. So that's the key point here.
Eat less. No, don't eat less. Eat less often. I love that. And we're coming up on the hour, so let's get this last fifth point in. And
well, wait, hold on. Diet variation. We can't leave that. We'll get.
Oh, we didn't even talk about diet variation. Okay, diet variation within ancient healing. Yes. So sorry.
And probably where I differ most from a lot of health experts, but I'm okay with that. I believe all of our ancestors were forced to vary their diet. If we look at the Hunza people, if we look at the Tibetans, if we look at the American Indians, they had ketotic states during the winter. In the summertime, they eat more vegetables, nuts, seeds, right? What they gather.
So higher carbs, lower carbs.
Yeah, that was a higher carb compared to what they ate. Today's standard, it was still a low-carb diet, right? I mean, let's face it. But it was still higher carbohydrates, different foods, but they were move out of ketosis, you know, back in ketosis, forced into ketosis. They were varying their diet. Listen, when I found this by realizing some people would not go into ketosis, I would back up into a regular cellular healing diet and then move them back into ketosis 3-4 months later. All of a sudden, they got in, realizing that the change caused adaptation hormonally that was magic. So varying the diet, it's ancient healing. It works. We move in and out of certain diets. And you know, the neat thing is we can almost find what diet works better for people, you know, but the change is good. Forcing the cells to have to utilize different energy sources, forcing bad cells don't adapt. And that's the message to take home. We force adaptation, you know, and by the way, that's a lot of what fasts do too. The bad cells, that's another ancient healing strategy for fasting, is bad cells don't adapt to just burning fat for energy. So the bad cells die off. It's called, you know, autophagy. And basically the body will eat the bad stuff, right? And get rid of the bad cells. The left, the strong ones are, that can adapt are left to thrive. So diet variation, here's a strategy on a weekly basis of diet variation. The 5-1-1 rule, 5 days of eating the way we're talking about, taking one day in feasting, eating 3 meals that day, eating a lot, reminding our body that it's not starving, right? Our ancestors did that. They have times where they would eat a lot, and it's good, right? It reminds our bodies to burn fat, and we found that people stay in that really efficient fat burning mode when they add that high, you know, eating day in. I call it feast because some people do better with more protein. Some people do better with more carbs. You know, it's different for everybody, but the idea is to take in a lot of healthy foods now, right? We're talking about healthy foods. The feast is healthy foods. We're not eating Twinkies. Okay, so and then
cheat day stuff, yeah.
5-5-1-1. So 5 days of cellular healing diet or 5 days of ketosis, right, diet, 1 day of the feast, and add a day of fasting in. So 1 day where you go 24 hours without dinner to dinner. So I eat dinner tonight and I go all day without food and I eat dinner again the next day, 24 hours fast. So some people do that. There's many weeks where I do that twice. Very healthy. I talked about what happens in a 24-hour fast hormonally. It's magic. So diet variation, 5-1-1. 5 days of a healthy diet, 1 fast day, 1 feast day. It's diet variation. It works. So
love it. All right. So that was ancient healing strategies. We had the fasting, which was the block and intermittent. We had the diet variation. And then we just had the and ketosis as well. So that was number 4. And then number 5 of the multi-therapeutic approach strategies, we have, drum roll, and we've got, of course, true cellular detox. We've talked a lot about it on this show. I know it's at the core of your mission, Dr. Pompa, and I see you're standing up. Going to do some drawing on that whiteboard. It's a huge topic that you talk about because it's a missing piece to a lot of what people do. They, you know, are following a healthy diet, they're exercising, they're taking a lot of supplements, still not getting results. True cellular detox is a foundational approach to really, really help people transform their health. So take it away, Dr. Pompa.
Well, I said that if it's really important, I got to come to the board. I promised I was going to get here. And I have 5 minutes to do this, okay? So hang with us because, look, I hope you've got the point that I'm going to raise this up just a tad. Maybe you can see my face better.
Some people might be listening on the podcast if they can't see you drawing.
Okay. So for the listeners, I'm at the board, but I'll vocally make this as clear as I can as well. You know, look, the key is putting all these things together. Right? I think I made that point several times, right? You know, you can change your diet, but these ancient healing strategies, the fasting, the diet variation, it's key. You know, the supplements, key. The exercise, okay, great. But ultimately, the reason why people are sick today and have unexplained illnesses, inflammation that's causing all these conditions and why people just don't feel well despite changing their diet, exercising, here we go. All of it's for nothing unless we get to the cell. Toxins in the cell is the key. The one point I love to make is, of course, we have to fix the cell to get well. More specifically, we have to detox the cell. I love to, you know, to draw the cell. And, you know, in the 5 R's of how to fix the cell really applies right here, right? And the 5 R's is really what we do to cellular function to get the cell doing what it naturally does best, and that's getting rid of toxins. Remember, when you make energy in the cell, you make toxins. Forget about the ones you ingest in your food and, you know, put on your skin. You make toxins. A cell that's inflamed is not getting rid of toxins. So when we look at the 5 R's, you know, regenerating the cell memory, restoring cellular energy, you know, reducing inflammation and reestablishing methylation, that's about fixing the cell, and it's really about upregulating these functions that the cell gets rid of toxins naturally. So, you know, one component of what true cellular detox is fixing the cell, you know, upregulating these functions. So, and then the second component of true cellular detox is getting these downstream detox pathways working, right? So here we have the liver, which is a major sticking point for people. Their liver gets so toxic, it can't get rid of things, right? And then how about the gut? You know, so we have the gut that's today, 95% of America has a leaky gut. You know, gut problems
you know, we've heard of all the colon cleanses and this cleanse, the, all the pooper products and all the 10-day cleanses, right? It's all down here. We have liver cleanses, coffee enemas, right here. But what's up here? This is true cellular detox. So number one, yes, we have to get cell function working, okay? Number two, we have to get downstream detox pathways open. And third is we have to use true binders, which we'll talk about in a second. These three things, cell function, open up downstream detox pathways, and binders make up true cellular detox, okay? So number one is we have to get this cell working. The cell will start to move things out of the cell to the liver, from the liver to the gut, from the gut outside the body. We like to use true binders in the gut so we don't auto-intoxicate toxins from the gut back into the liver and back into the body. So we use some true binders in the gut that don't even leave the gut. That's part of true cell detox. One or the other, and that's part of using real binders. The other thing is once we upregulate cell function, a lot of these toxins just start moving around and redistribute, some of them in the brain, which is really bad. And that's a person, by the way. So we use true binders like cytodetox, right? That use a cage and bind these toxins really good because the body will bring them out with cytodetox all the way out of the body. So we don't redistribute. So we have to use true binders. People make this mistake. They're using cilantro. They're using all these different products, Corella, you know, herbal things that aren't true binders. They stir it up. They don't grab on and move it out. You know, that's what cytodetox. And there's other true binders that we use too. But the key to cytodetox is opening up cell function, opening up these downstream detox pathways, and using true binders to make sure it all leaves the body, in the gut and out here. So this is a system that all of our doctors use. This is a system that works. Look, there's your coffee enema. There's your colonic, your 10-day cleanse. Everything, far infrared sauna just opens up the skin pathway. We use all of these things. We do. But the point is it's all down here. You have to get to the cell to get well. You have to detox the cell. You know, scientists understand that this is real detox. And this is what nobody's doing. This is what we do different. This is how I got my life back, right? And then I'm going to be more specific. This is why people don't feel well today. Honestly, this is why their hormones still aren't right. The pituitary hypothalamus sits in the center of that brain. It controls your thyroid. It controls your adrenals. It controls all your hormones. The brain today, because of the abundance of neurotoxins in our food, in our everything that we're putting in our bodies, from vaccines to flu shots to, you know, our makeup, you name it, glyphosate, all of it is making our brains toxic. More specifically, that's how I got my life back. So there's three phases of our detox. There's the prep phase where we prepare the cells and the pathways, right? The gut, all that. Then there's a body phase where we clear the body to set up concentration, all to get to the last phase, which is a brain phase. We teach our clients this. Prep phase, body phase, brain phase, and this is where the magic is. The brain phase is what I did for 4 years, and I am healthier today than I was even before I knew I was sick, and that's the truth. But the brain phase is where it all happens. Those are the cells that we need to get well to get our lives back. Nobody's doing it, Meredith. Nobody is going upstream to the brain. Nobody's going upstream to the cell. Everybody's down here with their 10-day cleanses, their Corella, their cilantro, their herbal cleanses, their pooper products, and all that's fine. I'm not against any of it. But we have to understand where it fits. True cellular detox, when you put it in light, and I'll bring myself back here. You can see when I get to the board, I get really passionate because that's what matters. When you put that into the ancient healing, you know, the right exercise, getting people to move, the right supplements, targeting the right tissues, and again, you know, that's where our coaches come in, rotating that. You put all that together on what we call a multi-therapeutic approach. Man, that's why our doctors around the country are seeing better results than anybody right now. And, you know, I don't take boast of that at all. I know that God
showed me these things through my own illness and, you know, being blessed to help so many very, very sick people, you know, around the world. And our doctors are experiencing the same results. You know, this stuff works. And, you know, this show is key to getting this message to the world. You know, the type of detox we do, nobody's doing it, Meredith. Nobody. You know, and that's my passion, is to teach more and more doctors true cellular detox in this system of what we call a multi-therapeutic approach. And Meredith, I know we don't have time for it, but the bonus in the multi-therapeutic approach, which we've done great shows on, is the emotional component. You know, it really is. And again, I just really quickly, I'm not even going to leave my chair because I don't want to make you nervous. Because we have to go. But folks, if you had to put it all into something that makes you help you think about it, this is why people are sick. By the way, that's a three-legged stool. And the analogy is, if you take one leg away, it falls. Well, all of this multi-therapeutic approach is within this stool. This is why people are getting sick too. If you take one leg approach away, you won't get sick. But we have certain DNA. I'm trying to write sideways. It's hard for me to write in general, let alone sideways. If we certain stressors are turning on genes and we're getting sick. My five R's is really the key to turning off those genes. However, we'll never turn them off if we don't remove the stressors. So we have to remove the stressors to turn off that gene. True cellular detox, TCD, fits right here, right? When we remove the stressors correctly, and emotions do too, right? Because emotional stressors with toxic stressors and physical stressors, you put those three things together, it's the perfect storm, bam, the gene gets turned on. We remove the stressors, and this is what our coaches teach people. We can turn off the gene, especially when we use the 5R approach. And lastly, I'm going to just say microbiome or gut. We know that certain bacteria in the gut are being affected in people today. And again, we know that when that gets affected, we turn on certain genes. When we replace these bacteria through these ancient healing strategies that we're talking about, so that over here, I'm just going to put ancient healing strategies. healing strategies. I didn't want to write it all out. I didn't have room. Okay. So true cellular detox, ancient healing strategies, the 5 R's, right? There's a context for everything, right? And when we do that, when we fix that gut and the microbiome, these good bacteria, we also change the DNA. So, you know, that really just puts it in context of why people are getting sick and where our multi-therapeutic approach really applies. So wow. You get rid of the cause, the body can heal.
Yeah. Such a powerful message. Wow. Dr. Pompa, thank you for sharing this. Thank you for sharing it with our audience. Thank you for teaching this system to doctors who are able to transform lives. If you're watching this and you're sick, you know, there's hope. But it's a multi-therapeutic approach. It's not one thing. As we've said, there's magic in all of this variation. And now you hopefully can understand why disease has arisen and what the steps you can do to fix it. So thank you, Dr. Pompa, because in your sickness, as we know, every burden is a blessing, and you have, you know, changed so many lives through helping to heal your own cells, to help heal yourself, to help heal others, and kind of going through these challenges really does bring us to some amazing answers. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's a big show. Now we got to get it out to the world. People need the message, no doubt. So thanks, Meredith. That was great.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Pompa. Thanks for watching, everyone. Hope you got a lot of value out of today's show. I know I sure did. And I will see you next time. So take care.
The information shared on today's show can be accessed through our websites, drpompa.com and revelationhealth.com. This Cellular Healing TV episode and past shows are also available for download on iTunes. Help others get real health solutions by liking, reviewing, and sharing our podcasts.